Tonight, I give you a choice. No, I didn't say gave, I said give.
Oh.
Tonight, I give you a choice.
Oh, what is that choice?
The choice is... riots in Baltimore. Or... Supreme Court hearing arguments about gay marriage.
Difficult? Wait, is the second one current?
They did it today.
Oh, then that. I want to hear about that.
I probably should have prepared myself a little bit more for that. I didn't hear all of the coverage today because I was really busy. But I know that... So when you get a case that goes to the Supreme Court, that's federal. It's a federal case. Marriage is a state issue. So states can make up their own rules about marriage. There's no federal law that says, hey, this is what the deal is. But if something gets decided at the federal level... Like, for example, discrimination pieces happen. You know, that's a federal thing. Everyone should be treated equally, that kind of thing. Then it trickles down to the states. And the states have to abide by the federal law. So the states can make up their own rules, their own laws, but they can't trump federal law. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the what happens when you get to the Supreme Court is... individual people have a grievance of some sort and they file a lawsuit locally and it works its way up and eventually through appeal process over and over eventually makes its way to the Supreme Court. And when it makes its way to the Supreme Court, it's a long process and it's so interesting. When you hear it, like, you know, they have excerpts, they have microphones in the chambers, and you think, you see these pictures of the Supreme Court, and they're all fairly old people in robes, and they look kind of stodgy looking, you know, they kind of, every time I see a picture of them, I'm always reminded of those two old guys in the Muppets sitting up in the upper row, and I expect them to be kind of curmudgeon-y. And... the minute they start this proceeding, that all goes out the window because these are incredibly intelligent, bright, really funny sometimes, really fair-minded people that have worked their way up and have been appointed to the Supreme Court. And it's a position that you keep forever. You know, it's like being a king of England. You keep it until you die or you step down. And these people are responsible for upholding the Constitution for the whole country. So they weigh things very, very carefully. And they take a long time on their decisions. So today they heard the case of, ultimately it boils down to gay marriage. And it was brought by a gay couple that I think, if I remember correctly, they had difficulty with adoption. Oh, that's exactly what it was. It was a gay couple. They had been married in a different state. Their state didn't recognize their marriage. They had two children that they had adopted. And when the one spouse died... the children weren't able, and the husband, or I think it was two men, they weren't able to take advantage of the benefits that come with being married and one of your spouses dies. You know, if mommy was to die, I would automatically become an heir to all of her stuff, and if she had a lot of money in the bank, I would get all that money. If she had life insurance, I would get the life insurance money. All of her properties automatically reverts to me with gay marriage. If your marriage isn't recognized, if it's in a state where it's not recognized, that doesn't happen. So, mommy's money would go to mommy's family. You wouldn't get any of it. You wouldn't have any legal right to any of it. So they sued, hoping to make marriage equality go better. And it's interesting because it seems like such a no-brainer to me. But when you hear the transcript and you read the decisions going back and forth, and to think of you listen to how they hear and how they piece apart these arguments, it makes you really realize how much emotion we put in it and how little emotion they put in it. They're so fair and unbiased in terms of their hearing arguments that they hear both sides of it, even if it seems like a no-brainer stuff to us. So,
what was the other side of it? The side against it, what were they saying?
Well, of course, they bring up all kinds of, you know, different arguments. One of them was, the main argument that they're bringing right now, I think, has to do with the fact that marriage traditionally is between man and a woman, and it's designed for procreation. And because you can't procreate, that's one of the reasons why it shouldn't be upheld. So that's
also exactly the reason that we don't allow infertile women to get married, right?
That's right. Yeah, and that was what was brought up.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
And what about people that didn't want children?
What about old people?
Yeah, people that are too old to have children. And they brought all of those things up. So it's a difficult argument. One of the things that I found striking was that they talked about how this is a relatively recent turn of events where people of the same sex would want to be married.
Recent?
Yeah, to come on the books, yeah. It's, you know, it's only within the last 15, maybe 20 years. Prior to 2000 or 2001, there were no known countries, cities, states, anything on the whole planet that allowed it, that allowed same-sex marriage as early as, you know, 2000. So, you know, we're talking about something in terms of changing the definition of marriage and figuring out what's legal is a relatively new phenomenon. So we should hear, we should get a ruling on this sometime in June, they said.
Ruling on what? What will it do?
On whether or not it's permissible. Or what I think what they were arguing was about the legality of gay marriage, or the legality of forbidding it, specifically saying that it's not recognized, because there are still quite a few states that don't recognize gay marriage.
Yeah. Have you seen those? Where is it? Indiana or something? I think Indiana. That they're allowed to put up signs that say, like, no homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I saw this thing, and it was a picture of, like, a sign that said, like, no homosexuals in here. Take out only for gays. Like, those signs. And then it said, and then there were signs, other pictures that said, like, only whites, no colored. It's, like, same thing, different decade.
Yeah. Listen, I am all for that. I am 100%. I think that should be 100% within their rights. And I say, absolutely. If you want to, if you're a baker and you don't want to make a cake for a gay wedding, I think
you don't want to get that couple $100, okay?
I think you should absolutely have that right. And I'll tell you why. Because it brings homophobia right to the forefront, right to the top of the glass. And there's nothing that tips over out of that glass quicker than when you start talking the fool. There was a bakery in Oregon, I think, or Washington, that flat out refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple. And they made a big ruckus about it. And they defended their view, and we're not going to do that, and it's not, you know, my religion doesn't call for that, and I don't believe in that, so I have the right. And what happens is, not only did the gay people stop going, the heterosexual people stopped going, and the bakery closed. And it, as much as I don't wish that on somebody, if you have a business, I want you to be prosper. I want you to, you know, be successful. I don't wish anybody to go through financial ruin. But I'm not surprised when something like that happens. So, and I think, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think I just read recently where the judge recently awarded the couple that had been told that they can't get the cake there. They were told that they get $135,000 as compensation for pain and suffering, for other things, from this bakery for turning them down. So I'm a big fan of allowing homophobia.
That sounds really bad. I get what you mean, but that sounds pretty bad.
Well, I mean, listen, there's just, I would much rather see the guy coming that's holding the machete so that I know that I can get on the other side of the street, rather than see the guy coming who's hiding the machete where he can sneak up on me and get me. If you want to post a sign in your business that says, sorry, no gays allowed, okay, fine. Then I will take my heterosexual butt and I will go someplace else also. So you lose my business as well as other people's business. And if you want to try to run a business like that, you know, good luck. Just doesn't usually work out in your favor. So it all goes back to the Bible. And unfortunately, the Bible is oft misquoted. And it's often edited.
Yeah.
So you can pull only those parts out that suit you. So, modern Christians sometimes forget that there's a New Testament. I'm fairly certain that Jesus didn't hold those views.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he didn't say, what are you, a prostitute? Get out of here. Scram. Nobody talked to her. She's a prostitute. Pretty sure he invited her in. Pretty sure he took the guy with leprosy in. Pretty sure he took the lame guy next to the pool in.
Pretty sure Jesus is a pretty good guy.
Yeah. I don't recall anywhere in the Bible where it says, shun those that are different from you.
Jesus loves everyone. That's kind of his thing.
Jesus loves everybody that's exactly like him. Otherwise, not so much.
Better luck next time, buddy.
Oh, goodness. So, I guess I don't have to ask where you fall on the scale of whether or not you support gay marriage. No?
I don't think you should have to ask that
Okay.
at all.
No. Your generation, I think, is going to be transformative.
That too. There are still, like, even people at my school that I know are still like, ugh, gay people. And I'm like, get over
That's just.
it. You're 13. Like,
Wait, tell me what you mean by that.
I don't know. Like, so young, they're taught these things and they're taught to think these things, probably. I'm gonna say probably from their parents and from, I don't know. Oh, that is stuck in my teeth. And I
Okay.
just think it's kind of like sad.
There is a parenting saying that says more is caught than taught.
Have no idea what that means.
More is caught than taught, meaning I don't think that's a taught behavior. I don't think anybody sits down with their
Oh,
parents and says
that's what I mean.
they just have this you know, they're watching TV and the news comes on about gay marriage and the mom and dad are sitting there and they're like, oh,
Oh.
those freaking fags, they shouldn't be allowed to marry. They're gonna screw
Yeah,
everything up,
that's what I
more
mean.
is. Yeah.
Not like, hey, don't support gay people,
Son,
son.
I'm gonna tell you this is what we do.
I mean, yeah, that's
So,
what I mean. Like, they see it, and
yeah.
that's what they think because of that, because that's what they've seen
That's fine.
probably their whole life. And I think it's kind of sad.
It is. It is.
I'm glad that I was brought up in a home that isn't like that, that is very open to everything.
I'm glad too. So I'm sitting here, and your side pony is on the opposite side from where I'm at. So when you turn your head slightly that way, just like that, it looks like you have uber short hair, like really short, cropped over the ears hair, and you look unbelievably cute. Like if you were just to have like a really short, cropped hair. Hair up here and come up over the ears and just very short around the outside like that.
What?
It would be an adorable cut for you. Keep that in mind.
Got paint everywhere.
Yeah, you do.
I had it on my face. I had it right here,
Yeah,
like smudged across my face.
you did. I didn't want to say anything because I figured you'd see yourself in the mirror, but I didn't want to be
That was a
the
mess.
bearer of bad tidings.
A mess in my hands, a mess in my doll. Ugh. To paint over it.
Well, that's a great lesson to learn, though.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Makes you have more appreciation for the woman that does that.
Yeah.
So, what's that called? Like tree people or something like that?
Know.
Tree
Tree
dolls?
people.
Isn't that
Sounds
what
so
it is?
weird.
It's like
No.
tree.
It's tree something.
Yeah, it's tree dolls or something like
Tree people.
that. So, all right, I'm gonna turn your fan on. You're gonna try to
Time.
get some sleep. So, stay up around. And just put a word in for the people of Baltimore. They're struggling there.
This are they is this like a constantly going on thing?
No, so today was a different day. Today, lots of different groups came out. And spoke very harshly, going all the way up to the president about the fact that these were criminals. It's not a protest. You're not
Yeah.
marching against something. You're not consciously objecting. You're a criminal. You're breaking in. You're burning cop cars. You're burning buildings. You're looting. Those are just criminal acts. And some people came right out, and I heard an interesting perspective today from somebody that said, as a society, we've politicized policing so much that we're now kind of afraid to do good police work sometimes simply because we're afraid of what the political ramifications are going to be. So when people start looting, we don't go in there with full riot gear and grab these guys with tear gas, put them all on the ground and stick them in handcuffs and arrest every single one of them. We don't shoot rubber bullets into people. We don't use beanbags to knock people down and take them to the paddy wagon and stop them from doing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property damage. And the reason we don't do that is because we're afraid that it's going to show up on YouTube with 50 million hits because a quote-unquote unarmed looter is going to get accused of being beaten by a police officer. And I heard this guy talk about it today. He said, that's just ludicrous. When you're breaking law and you can't get people to comply with your orders and their property damage and their hurting police officers and they're burning down stores and looting stores and breaking and entering, you combat that with violence, with force is what he used. He didn't say violence. And his concern was that we're not doing that. Kind of pussyfooting around a little bit, kind of letting them. So I think Baltimore is going to be a sea change for the way we do business here in terms of policing. I think you're going to see some things change. There's going to be some sweeping policy changes. So, me personally, I'm getting a little tired of hearing people complaining because police are treating them badly. The people that are being treated badly are entirely criminals. They're all criminals, and that doesn't mean that I think just because they're criminals they should be treated badly. But I think the change needs to happen when we stop committing crime. Have you ever thought that maybe you wouldn't get hassled by the police if you didn't get arrested? So,
Mommy and I saw a lady get arrested today.
Really?
Yeah. I forgot about it.
Did you stop and watch?
We couldn't stop and watch. We were driving. But we saw her and she was... The traffic was going really slow past her because they were watching her.
Everybody likes a train wreck.
Yeah. And they were parked in, like, a parking lot. Mm-hmm. And she was yelling at him. She was like... And we could see her doing that. And the cop was like doing this thing where she's like...
Yeah, settle down.
And then we saw him turn her around.
Oh, nice.
Well, I did. Mommy was driving.
They can only handle so much.
But I was like... Because we were driving, I was like...
You have a rubbernecking to see the whole thing?
Extendo neck.
All right, now say a prayer. So I started to tell you they're on curfew in Baltimore tonight, and they've got the National Guard out. So, and the police chief, who, by the way, used to be the police chief of Long Beach.
Upgrade.
He said, we're not going to have the same kind of violence happen tonight as happened last night. That will not be accepted. So,
yeah.
You know, those are your choices. You go out there with full force and you let people know that it's unacceptable and you arrest and you put people in jail and you deal with that on a criminal behavior, or you let your city burn. And you can't let your city burn. You know, these are people's lives.
Has anyone died?
No, not yet.
Okay, good.
That's one of the things they're talking about. Well, you know, I mean, if the violence erupts again, so the only person that is deceased as a result of this whole thing was the kid that they had the funeral for a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So they're still not really sure what happened, how his spine got severed. But his rap sheet got published today.
His what?
His rap sheet. All of his crimes, all of the list of all the things that you've been arrested for, going all the way back to, you know, 2008. He was a career criminal. Narcotics, possession, distribution, theft, burglary, dozens of arrests. He was a career criminal that the police you know, detained, wanted to ask questions. He ran, something happened, and he ended up dying. Like I said, I don't believe that just because you're a criminal, you deserve to die, but, you know, when you play in the street, at some point you gotta expect that you're gonna get hit by a car. So, that's not necessarily the car's fault. All right, good night. Say a prayer.
Dear God, I pray for a good night's sleep. Make a good day tomorrow. I'm not dead. I don't have a good day at work. Put your other cowboys back. Make please have a great day today. Unless I have a great day tomorrow. And so, man, the people of Baltimore are safe and that things will get better. Amen.
Amen.